I'd like to read to us from John chapter 4, and it's the story of the Samaritan woman, a well-known story. I read to us from the Good News Version. From verse 4, it says, "On his way there," and Jesus was traveling to Galilee, "he had to go through Samaria. In Samaria, he came to a town named Sychar, which was not far from the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired out by the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw some water. And Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink of water.' His disciples had gone to buy food. The woman answered, 'You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink?' And it says in brackets, 'Jews will not use the same cups and bowls that Samaritans use.' Jesus answered, 'If only you knew what God gives and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would ask him and he would give you life-giving water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you haven't got a bucket and the well is deep. Where would you get that life-giving water? It was our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well, and his sons and his flocks all drank from it. You don't claim to be greater than Jacob, do you?' And Jesus answered, 'All those who drink this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give will become in them a spring which will provide them with life-giving water and give them eternal life.' 'Sir,' said the woman, 'give me that water. Then I will never be thirsty again, nor will I have to come to draw water.' 'Go and call your husband,' Jesus told her, 'and come back.' 'I haven't got a husband,' she answered. Jesus replied, 'You're right when you say you haven't got a husband. You have been married to 5 men, and the man you live with now is not really your husband. You have told me the truth.' 'I see you're a prophet, sir,' the woman said. 'The Samaritan ancestors worship God on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where we should worship God.' Jesus said to her, 'Believe me, woman, the time will come when people will not worship the Father either on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not really know whom you worship, but we Jews know whom we worship, because it is from the Jews that salvation comes. But the time is coming and is already here when, by the power of God's Spirit, people will worship the Father as he really is, offering him the true worship that he wants. God is Spirit, and only by the power of his Spirit can people worship him as he really is.' The woman said to him, 'I know that the Messiah will come, and when he comes, he will tell us everything.' Jesus answered, 'I am he, I who am talking with you.' At that moment, Jesus' disciples returned, and they were greatly surprised to find him talking with a woman. But none of them said to her, 'What do you want?' or asked him, 'Why are you talking with her?' Then the woman left her water jar, went back to the town, and said to the people there, 'Come and see the man who told me everything I have ever done. Could he be the Messiah?' So they left the town and went to Jesus. In the meantime, the disciples were begging Jesus, 'Teacher, have something to eat.' But he answered, 'I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' So the disciples started asking among themselves, 'Could somebody have brought him food?' 'My food,' Jesus said to them, 'is to obey the will of the one who sent me and to finish the work he gave me to do. You have a saying, 4 more months and then the harvest. But I tell you, take a good look at the fields. The crops are now ripe and ready to be harvested. The one who reaps the harvest is being paid and gathers the crops for eternal life. So another who sows and the one who reaps will be glad together. The saying is true. One sows, another reaps. I have sent you to reap a harvest in a field you did not work. Others worked there, and you profit from their work.' Many of the Samaritans in that town believed in Jesus because of what the woman had said, 'He told me everything I have ever done.' So when the Samaritans came to him, they begged him to stay with them, and Jesus stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his message, and they said to the woman, 'We believe now, not because of what you said, but because we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he really is the Saviour of the world. And we thank God for God's word to us this morning. I read to us only one scripture this morning, as you'll be aware. It is a long one, but it does tell a full and a rich story. And I'm always excited by this scripture, because in this scripture we see that Jesus and the account, the conversation, the movement that he has with the Samaritan woman is a treasure and an insight into not only Jesus and who he is, but also the grace that we find in his teaching. It's an opening to the teaching that he gives us, and how we can use it in our lives, and how it changes our lives, and how there is depth and meaning in each word that is spoken in this passage. So I do want to encourage you, do go home and read it again, and read it again, and then read it again. Because each time we read it, we find something new and different. Each time we read it, there's something else that pops out. And I mean, I've been reading it for many years. And each time there's something new, there's something fresh in it. As is the case with all scripture. So today we've read through it once. And if I could, I'd read it to us again and read it to us again. But then we'd run out of time. But I do encourage you, go back and read it again yourselves. But I want you to picture that scene as it took place. It is a rich narrative story as well as a rich teaching story. And in it, there's a lot that happens. There's a lot of interaction, and there's very clear indications given of the scene that plays out. And as it plays out, I want you to see and to realize that Jesus is with the woman in the midday heat, to feel that scorching heat, to feel that oppressive heat in that midday sun as you read the story. I want you to take into account that Jesus was traveling, so he would have been tired, it would have been difficult. He and his disciples, we know, were hungry. They'd gone off, the disciples, into town to fetch food. And we suspect that because Jesus stayed behind, the disciples were saying to Jesus, it's been a long and a hard journey. You stay here and rest. We will go and get the food. It's one interpretation, one thought around that. So Jesus was most likely tired. He also, like the Samaritan woman, was caught in an unenviable situation. The Samaritan woman had to come to the well at midday. Jesus was also at the well at midday, unwilling to be there. And so we begin to get this picture that it was a difficult situation for both. That for both Jesus and the Samaritan woman, they both found themselves blazing heat, tired, difficult, the worst time of day to be out. And they both found themselves in that situation. And because of this, we're reminded that Jesus found himself in a difficult situation the same way that the Samaritan woman found herself in a difficult situation. They have a commonality, something in common in that moment. They both would have chosen to be somewhere else if they'd had the choice. And there's a unique dynamic that I believe we can also pick up on in the story at this time. In that as Jesus arrived there, he had no means of collecting water from the well. The story tells us as much, and we can infer from the conversation that that's the case. But that, by contrast, the woman does. She arrives at the well, yes, at an inopportune time, a time she doesn't want to be there, and yet at the same time she does have the means to collect the water from the well. She, in many ways, has something to offer to Jesus that Jesus was unable to do himself. Many times people have said this is a story in which it's very clear that Jesus is bringing everything to the woman, that the woman has no agency in the story, that she is very clearly the downtrodden, the one pushed aside by everyone around her. But I would like to suggest that as the woman arrived at that well, she saw very quickly that Jesus didn't have a bucket to draw water. And as she approached, she may have become aware that he would ask her to draw water for her, because it wasn't the first time that would have happened in her life. If she was at the well and especially if she was at the well with other people at different times of the day, they would have shared that moment of pulling the water out. They would have given water to everybody who'd been there. In fact, even if they'd brought animals with them, they would have given water to those animals who had no ability to pull the water themselves. The whole dynamic of the well was that those who had the means to pull the water would do it and share it with everyone, because water was life. And without it, everything stopped. And so as she arrived, she would have seen that and known that, that Jesus was sitting there clearly with no bucket, no way to take the water out the well. And so I do want to say that today, the woman did have some agency in the story. And while Jesus offered her far more than she could have expected, she would have arrived at that moment expecting to assist Jesus and to give her something. She was defensive in her response, because she began to realize very quickly as she spoke to him that he was a Jew and she was a Samaritan. But she wouldn't have known that as she came up to the well. And so the woman, I believe, does have something to offer, not just to Jesus, but to us in this story. That she shows to us that we too, when we approach Jesus, have something to bring. We have our lives, we have those parts of our lives that can collect the living water that is within us. We have something that can hold the living water that Jesus offers to us. And we can bring ourselves, our being, and everything that we are into the conversation. Just as that woman approached Jesus, knew she had the bucket to give and to use, and then began the conversation with him. But I also want to suggest that Jesus used this dynamic, used this moment where he saw her arriving, knew he had no bucket to collect the water, but saw that she was carrying one, and used it to begin to speak about something more and deeper in his life, in her life, and what it meant. And as we find ourselves in Lent, we find ourselves in a similar place. That we come to Jesus with something in our life. If we've begun this Lenten journey and we're now a good halfway through it, that we find ourselves offering what we have and what we are. We might find ourselves in the heat of the day and difficulty of Lent. There is a fasting, a giving up. There is a giving to others. There is praying and going beyond what we would normally do. And we find ourselves in those heat moments. But if we read the story and we see we have something to give and something to receive, that we will be in a good place, in a healthy place in our Lent journey. Now today, we are not just speaking about anything. We're speaking about life-giving water. And so remember water in our lives as well. That as we drink, as we find ourselves in Lent, as we find ourselves in a moment that is a part of fasting, there is a parching that happens. And as you drink water, you feel that, I can feel it, you can't feel it. But you feel that water in your mouth, and you feel it beginning to quench your thirst. We realize that there is so much in the dynamic between us and Jesus. Our theme for this Lenten period is hold fast to faith. And there are three parts of this story that I'd like to offer to us as parts of our faith that allow us to hold fast, to see the living water that Jesus offers. And the first is that Jesus affirms the woman as she arrives at that well. She speaks to her not just as somebody who has something to offer her, and in many ways, as other people have suggested, that she's a problem to be fixed. Because Jesus knows everything about her. Jesus can see within broader scopes of the world around him and sees who she is very quickly, knows who she is and begins to engage with her. And many people have spoken about the Samaritan woman almost as a problem that needs to be fixed. She is on the wrong side of Christ's love, and she needs to be brought into Christ's love. She needs to be spoken to, and her life hasn't worked out up until now, and there are many things within her life that people could speak out against. and she's a problem, she needs to be fixed. But Jesus doesn't approach her in that way. Jesus doesn't speak to her in any way which is bringing her down. Instead, he sees her as a person who is to be valued. He sees her as a person who has something to offer him and to bring to him. She sees her as a human being that is there to be loved and to be cherished. And he points out that her life hasn't moved in the way that it should have, or even that it could have, or even that he would want it to have moved. But from this moment on, from that conversation onwards, her life does begin to change. And that's what love does. Love affirms and love cherishes. It sees people as they are. It sees people as they could be. And loves them for what is coming next, not for what has been in the past. And we see this very dynamic happen in the woman's life and change. She recognizes that Jesus has seen this and holds it and then moves forward from there with no strings attached. He doesn't put conditions on what he's offering. He simply says, I am able to offer you life-giving water and you will never be thirsty again. There is no string attached to that. There is nothing that holds onto it. And so if we find ourselves in a place in our own lives where we yearn for no strings attached love, then we're able to read the story and see Jesus offers that to each one of us exactly the same way that he offered it to the Samaritan woman. We might be coming to Jesus with our entire lives behind us saying, yes, but, look at my life. And Jesus says, I still offer you life-giving water. No strings attached. So when Jesus affirms her, he also affirms us. We are all beloved by God. No matter how broken or rejected each one of us might feel, no matter what it is in our lives that we might think will stop us coming to God, Jesus says there are no strings attached. Another way we hold fast to faith with this story and in this Lenten time is we see that the story reminds us that God has no boundaries. There is nothing that will stop us coming to God. And as we see that Jesus encountered the Samaritan woman, it's a vivid reminder that God's invitation has absolutely nothing stopping it. We put things into place which say, no, God. But God doesn't put anything there. Jesus doesn't put anything there. Notice how it's the Samaritan woman who says to Jesus, but you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. Jesus doesn't say it to her. Jesus simply asks her to get some water out the well. Jesus asks her to assist him in a way that he can't at that moment. Jesus invites her into conversation. Jesus recognizes her as a person in front of him and engages with her. And she's the one who puts that block in place and says, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. You won't even drink from the same cup that we drink from. And Jesus goes beyond that, doesn't even enter into that conversation, and says to her, no, I have life-giving water to offer you. Regardless of our background and circumstances, whatever blocks we put into place, God's love knows no boundaries. The story reminds us there. And so this encounter also shows us that the good news is for everyone. It doesn't matter who we are, what's happened in our past. It doesn't matter what ethnic background we come from. It doesn't matter where we were born. It doesn't matter who our parents were. It does not matter. God's love is for everyone. And as we find ourselves in Lent, we must be reminded of that. That no matter who you are, no matter what religion you come from, no matter what you do in this world, God's love is for everyone. And it means when we speak to the world around us in Lent, as we give of ourselves in this time, that we give freely and willingly to all people around us. And that opens up newness. And think about what that might mean in our world today, where we are as segregated as we have ever been. We're as separated as we could be, and we come into a world which is broken and hurting. And this story reminds us that Jesus doesn't take into account those stumbling blocks. He says, everyone, 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 is open and available for God's grace. The good news is for all people, and it doesn't matter. The third way I believe we hold fast to faith is when we read the story and we see that we are the Samaritan woman. Each one of us is the woman in the story. And I find a richness and a depth here that the woman represents each one of us. And she represents us in the way that often we don't feel fully accepted by God. I know in my own faith journey there are moments where I've stood back and said, but how can God love me? How can God really hold everything that has been in my life? And there's that but question that comes up in my mind. And I'm sure that for many people that's true. That sometimes, like the Samaritan woman, we don't feel fully accepted. For her, she didn't feel accepted by the people around her, by her community, by her family, by those who she'd been in relationship with over and over. And bear in mind, there's no indication of why she'd had five husbands. It may have been that each of them had passed. We don't know. We often assume that she'd been divorced, and our own prejudices come into that story. But at the same time, all we know is that she had been through a process in her community where people had pushed her aside and said, "You are not accepted by us. You're not who we want you to be." And how often do we experience the similar circumstance in our lives? That we don't feel accepted by others. We don't feel accepted by God. And we then put stumbling blocks in our own way. We then say to ourselves, "I'm unworthy of being accepted. And it's not okay in my life." So she represents for us that part in ourselves that feels rejected or shamed or unworthy. That feels like we're not good enough. That feels like God can't love me. And as we read her words, as we read her story, would we place ourselves in her shoes and say, "If I felt that way, how would I respond to Jesus' words to me? To say that I offer life-giving water, I offer more than what you can see." And this is where the gospel, I believe, really becomes alive for us. That when the Samaritan woman encounters Jesus, she discovers that she is known and she is loved anyway, no matter what has come before. And we too can have the same response to Jesus to say, "No matter what has come before, I offer myself in this moment, God." She has a place in the family of God, and I want each one of us to hear today. We have a place in the family of God as well. And this is the message of the gospel. That we are all welcome just as we are. And that we are all capable of transformation and growth in our lives. And it's my prayer that Lent has been that for you. That as we've fasted, as we've moved through this time, that there's been that sense of God's presence with us, giving us something new, something to transform the world around us. And then look at her response. She realizes and accepts God's love. She realizes and accepts who Jesus is, hears his words of life-giving water, and says, "I want that." Would you too respond today in a similar way? To say, "Yes, Jesus, I hear your offer of life-giving water, irrespective of what's come before. And I want to accept it. I want it to be real in my life." And so go back and read the story, and I encourage you to read it again and again. See that the story tells us that Jesus affirms her, that he loves her, that she's not something to be fixed, but rather somebody to be loved. That there are no boundaries in God's invitation, and that every single person we come across is worthy of God's love, is able to be held by God, and their life too can be transformed by the gospel. And that we may fully accept for ourselves God's love, and hold it tightly, not just now, but every day of our lives. In a few moments, we're going to come to the altar for communion and a time of being in God's presence. And I want to invite you to see this as your well moment. Jesus and the Samaritan woman met at the well at a moment where they both crossed paths. See this rail as your path-crossing place, as your way in which you can kneel and say to Jesus, I'm here. I know nothing can bring me here except the Holy Spirit. I know that my life is my life, but we kneel and we make opportunity, we open opportunity in our lives for transformation to take place, to invite Jesus in and to say, I want that life-giving water, God. I want newness in this moment. And we find that at this rail. So we invite you to that.